Hi everyone. This podcast is in two languages, and this is the English version. Let me do that in French for a second. Ce podcast est en anglais et vous êtes sur la version anglaise, mais il existe également une version française que vous pouvez retrouver dans votre lecteur de podcast. So, let's go back to English. This is Vlan, and I'm your host, Gregory Puy. And on this podcast, we talk about the evolution of society. And if you actually enjoy it, it would mean the millions to rate it and leave a comment on Apple Podcasts. So, why the hell did I want to talk about the dark sides? Well, first, because I think everyone wants to be happy, right? And to achieve that, you have to scratch a little your dark sides, at least be aware of them. And I have the pleasure today to receive Jerry Hyde, who is a British therapist specialized in men. He's just released a book that is called The Book of Sin. And it's quite the opposite of any self-development book that you have in mind. And actually, it's quite funny to read. Okay, enough of me. Let's go into conversation with Jerry. Allez, Vlan, c'est parti. So, hi everyone. I'm with Jerry Hyde, with a good friend. And you just wrote a book, The Book of Sin, which by the name is already very interesting. And the thinking is, or my thinking is, that social media, and there are many studies proving that, are making people miserable because you look at life of people and everybody is so shiny and bright and it's amazing and da-da-da. And you have so many people, like, you know, sharing this positive power quote on social media also.
You know, there's an unfollow button, right?
True. And then you write the Book of Sins, which is the dark sides of people. And why would you wrote such a book? Why dark sides?
I mean, when I got into therapy, the whole therapy world, which must be 26 years ago, a long time ago now, that's the first thing they hit you with, right? I mean, I don't know what it's like for people getting in now, but that was the first thing they hit you with, was you've got to love yourself. That's the answer. And It was a bit like one of those memes you get on Facebook, you know, with rainbows and dolphins and stuff like that. I think I instinctively felt something was missing. Although at the same time, I think it was what I needed, because my self-esteem was so low. I needed my confidence boosting and my self-esteem boosting, and that was fine for a few years. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it probably is the place to start for most people when they're reconstructing themselves, is you need to repair the damage that most of us have experienced. But what I discovered further down the line was that the reason that that whole love yourself didn't quite make sense to me, or didn't feel complete to me, is that it doesn't emphasize that self-love actually needs to be unconditional. So it's not enough to love the fact that you're kind and sensitive and you give a bit of money to charity and you're quite artistic and all that kind of stuff. You have to not love your dark side, but approach it with love. So I don't mean you need to love the fact that you're selfish or greedy or mean, but when you're, the only way you're going to really look at those sides of yourself is if you do it compassionately, because we all want to be nice guys, or we all want to be good guys, or whatever.
I'm a very nice guy.
I know. But if you're attached to that, then it makes it very hard to look at your darker sides, which we all have. So you need to, everybody, it's human condition. You know, we're all, you know, Jung said, it's one of my favorite, if you came to my house, it's actually written on my wall. Do you want to be good or whole?
Right.
There it is, right? Do you want to be good or do you want to be a whole person? And yeah, a whole person has all these different aspects to themselves. But in order to really be able to look at yourself, you have to do it compassionately. So you've got to love all that you are.
And do you think that the fact that social media is so much about bright sides and not walls, I mean, from the wall angles, is a problem? It seems to be, but...
Well, it's what social media is. You know, I don't think that's a problem. But if you look at someone's Facebook profile and think that that's a reflection of all that they are, then you're insane. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast, isn't it? You know, I don't know that it's the place that you even want to hear how depressed someone is or how suicidal they are.
No,
I'm not saying that I would object if someone put that there, but I don't think that's ever going to happen, because it's not what social media is about. You know, it's where we put pictures of our holidays.
You brag a little.
Yeah, maybe brag or just announce to the world the things that are going well for yourself. I mean, I don't have any personal problem with telling everyone, what's going wrong with my life. But it's not my inclination. You know, I won't really, you know, that feels like something more intimate to me that I will share with close people if I'm having a hard time. It's, what would be the point of sharing on social media? You know, what's the function of that? I'm not sure.
To get support, I guess.
It's not where I would go to do that. I don't want to announce to the entire world. That's something that's kind of private that I'll talk to my therapist or my friends or.
Yeah, I get that. And do you think that, do you think that people are kind of asleep? I mean, I'm not sure people are like relating to their dark sides a lot, like in real life. And you're a therapist, so you might know much better than I do because you receive like so many people.
But they are and they aren't. They just don't necessarily know it. So you go and watch any movie. I mean, I'm not talking about a rom-com, but you know, you watch Star Wars. You know, you relate. What do you think Darth Vader is? He's your dark side, right? And we all have a relationship to the bad guy in the movies, and we all celebrate when he gets killed in the end of the movie, and we expect him to get killed in the end of the movie, and that's generally what happens in the end of the movie. But that, you know, all these things are they're archetypal sides of ourselves. So we're all Luke Skywalker, and we're all Darth Vader. It's so people like to be Luke Skywalker, you know.
They like to think of themselves.
The attraction is that they're actually resonating with Darth Vader. Right, they just don't necessarily know that they are.
And how so?
It's within us. You know, that darker side is part of us, and therefore they're kind of. If it wasn't within them, there would be no interest in the character.
True.
You know, so that's the basis of theatre. You know, that goes back to the ancient Greeks. Anything that you see happen, you know, this is the basis of tragedy. We all watch tragedy with the awareness that we're quite relieved it's not happening to us, but the knowledge that it could happen to us. And the same with any kind of good cop, bad cop scenario. You know, we recognize these two characters because it's part of us.
And
there's nothing that's encouraging us to do that work.
No, that's exactly true.
And why would you? You know, I was saying to my partner earlier, you know, it's not great marketing to say, come and see me, pay me, you know, 80 euros an hour and look at the things that you've successfully avoided your entire life. You know,
I mean, that's what you pay a therapist for, right?
Well, people think they're going to go to see a therapist to be happier, but I don't. That's not what I'm selling, you know, because I don't think it's that simple. Or if there is a route to happiness, then it has to be through looking at all you are, because otherwise you're going to spend your whole life thinking, oh, but if you really knew who I was, you wouldn't like me.
Yeah.
You know, and once you've worked through those sides of yourself that you don't like and you find a way to accept them, then you're not projecting that out into the world.
And something that is very trendy, let's say, are the personal development books. And they're all about, you know, whatever the names, about the, you know, being in the instant or... And well, they're all
that's
very
why they,
positive.
That's why they sell more books than I do. Yeah, but yeah, that's again. I think it's appealing to mass market, isn't it? I mean, that's what the demand is, and perhaps I don't mean that critically. Mate, perhaps we're in the early days of self development, you know, culturally, and I like to think that further down the line that people might want to explore deeper than that. But then again, it's not old because I'm quoting Jung. You know, this is 100 years old. He recognized that you've got to go to your dark side.
Yeah, exactly. It's not very new, but still people tend to...
It tastes better. It's like ice cream. You know, it tastes better, but it's not necessarily good for you.
And also, to me, like when I read those books, which I don't really like, I feel like it's not achievable. I mean, you cannot be like happy 100% of the time. It's kind of a lie.
Yeah, but this is stuff that's written for a Western palate. If you read more of the kind of Eastern mysticism or philosophy, the really good teachers aren't talking about happiness. You know, they'll say happiness is a bit of a trap because if you go up, you got to come down. So they don't generally advocate that. They advocate contentment, which is more of a more vanilla. It's more in the middle. You know?
Yeah, but it's also, Buddhism, if that's what you refer to, is kind of a trap also because you don't have like strong feelings on any side. It's just like very balanced. When I feel like to be happy, and exactly what you said, like to be happy, you have to be unhappy just to notice that you are like in a special state, which is happiness. And you can't like notice that state if you are always in that state somehow. That's normal.
Yeah, it's not something I'm very interested in. You know, it's just not something that I'm working with or I'm promoting or I'm writing about, because I think it's a narrow, you know, it's not what life is about. You know, that's not the deal. No one is going to get to a place. Even the enlightened masters, you read them, and I don't think they exist in a state of perpetual bliss.
No.
You know, and even, you know, those bliss states, they're not the same as happiness.
No, true. It's impossible to get there. And I think it's important. It's an important message to carry. Is that the objective of the book, like to tell people this is not the aim? There's nobody who can achieve that, and you better embrace your dark sides if you want to be...
I don't know if that's the specific aim of this book, but that's one of my specific messages in all my work. Is you want to really heal? You know, I don't really know what that means, because it's one of those generic terms like you know, that is in the therapy world, like change and healing, and I'm not sure.
Evolve, let's say.
Yeah, evolve. I can get with. If you want to evolve, then yeah, you got to go into those dark places and really. And that's what knowing yourself means.
And do you think like people are kind of asleep with their,
Yeah, I think it's very difficult not to be, because to be awake in this world, you know, I mean, this is really what I think I learned through writing the book, is I started out promoting the importance of waking up to everything. And by the end, I realized that being asleep is a necessary function, because for me to walk from my apartment to the metro, if I'm wide awake to all the suffering that is around me in London,
yeah,
I'm not going to make it to the metro, because I'm going to have to stop and speak to every homeless person and give them money and, you know, all that kind of. So I think what I realized is, yeah, you don't want to be in your default state. It's not great for any of us if we're in a kind of trance, but we have to choose how we direct our awakenedness, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise you wouldn't get out of bed. You know, you wouldn't.
That's kind of true. I guess it's to me, I feel like everyone's got a capacity of being happier or happy most of the time, and some don't. So some are very depressed most of the time, and some are more happy. So it's also a balance between people.
It's a cultural malaise. You know, you and I have spent time together in Nepal. Mm-hmm. And the thing when I take people to Nepal for my retreats that I see, you know, is there comes a moment probably for everyone when they arrive where you see them look around and go, hold on a minute, I've just spent €2,000 or something coming here to work on my, you know, self. And these people are some of the poorest people in the world, but they're all laughing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think in the West, we've created a world for ourselves where we're very comfortable, very safe. We have immensely affluent lives compared with people in poorer countries. But that doesn't bring happiness. Actually, it brings a lot of stress, a lot of neurosis, a lot of depression. You know, the depression levels in poorer countries are far, far lower. And the suicide levels are far, far lower.
And actually, talking about Nepal, you always said you got to be ready. So what would that mean then?
Well, for a big growth experience, yeah, I mean, you know, you need to respond to your deeper intuition, I think. And anyone who does a big adventure like that, I think that it's not necessarily an intellectual process. You might realize, you know, I've got some issues I want to address, but it's more of a deeper calling, I think, for those kind of events.
Sure. And so you talk about the seven sins and the Ten Commandments, and you quote Osho that you really like. And you say, he said that the trees don't have any Ten Commandments, the birds don't have any Holy Scripture, and it's only man who created a problem for himself. Condemning is your own nature, become split, you become schizophrenic. So what is the solution then? How can you reconnect with both? Do you have any advices to, I mean,
again, that's what this book is really about. I mean, the other quote from our show that I really like is he said, morality is so people don't have to think for themselves. And that's what these structures are, the Ten Commandments. It's like, oh, what are the rules? What does the priest say I should do? True. And it removes you from yourself and it puts the authority onto someone else. And then you've become less than or you've become a slave to that culture. And I think you have to be willing to ignore all the laws, all the rules, all the commandments, and listen to yourself. You know, we use this term, your moral compass. Okay, it's a catchy little phrase, but what does it actually mean? You know, what's your Ten Commandments? And that's not going to be the same as my Ten Commandments.
And also, I believe that some of those, I mean, scenes are not that bad always. I mean, it depends. It depends on the level also somehow. I mean, gluttony or whatever it is. I mean, you might like sex, for example, and it's not like such a sin. Or
I mean, those codes used to, you know, they used to give people some kind of directional way to live life. But nowadays, I mean, one of the things I really learned from the book, coming to it with the idea that these things were outdated and irrelevant, and I realized that a lot of what I perceive as the world's problems are because we no longer have any guidelines that we follow.
Exactly. I was going to say that. What I see is that people are searching for guidelines. I mean,
yeah, but search
especially
inwards,
in Western world.
Search inwards, not outwards. You don't need to look outwards. You don't need to be told what the rules are. But, you know, gluttony or greed are these things. I mean, we're out of control as a consumer society, really. And shame, you know, shame is something as a therapist I've always worked with as this bad thing that people need to move beyond. And I realized, actually, we live in a shameless society and a lot of our world leaders are operating shamelessly because we
like
know
Trump.
I wasn't going to name names, Greg.
I do.
But, you know, Donald Trump is someone who seems to be immune to things that if I did some of those things and people found out, I'd be humiliated for the rest of my life.
But when
you're immune to those kind of human responses, it's generally what we call a psychopath. But, you know, there's problems with psychopaths, as everyone knows. So I think you've got to be attuned to your own morality, but it's not necessarily useful to be following someone else's. You know, again, Osho said, only follow, you know, someone's command if it's coming from within you also.
And yet people are looking for them. I mean, that's why all these personal development book are working, or why, I mean, religion is kind of back on track somehow. People are looking for guidelines. Don't you think they need that? Or
yeah, I think that's, you know, that's, I mean, I'm from a Christian culture primarily, and Christianity is, it's a 2,000-year-old death cult that worships a father and a savior. So we've all been indoctrinated into look towards someone who's going to make everything okay as long as we are very well behaved. And if you're not, you're going to go to hell. So it's all external.
And you actually also talk about Satan in the book. So what's about Satanism?
Well, Satan's just our he's just our dark side. It's just Darth Vader. It's just another name for that.
So you should embrace him.
I think so. I mean, you know, this depends where you look. There's some sects of Christianity that believe that God and Satan are one and the same. And I don't believe in either. But if I did, I would go down that road because... Right. It's light and shade. It's yin and yang. It's there in, you know, it's in every culture. There's these polarities, you know. But I don't think actually that duality is very good for us, because if you spend your time trying to figure out what's right or wrong all the time, you kind of miss the point. And that's what I mean by being compassionate towards your dark side. You know, be compassionate towards the devil. You know, sympathy for the devil. You know, it's there in that song, isn't it? In that lyric. And I think it's an important message that if you really want to know yourself, you have to be a little bit sympathetic rather than damnation and judgment. That just closes the door.
Nobody talks about that, though. That's why you wrote the book, I guess. And I was wondering, why do you call the book How to Save the World? I was like,
I think I was throwing, we have an expression in English to throw someone a bone. It's like just give you a bit of relief from the darkness, because I wrote it over an entire year. So I chose to write it from January to December.
Right,
and
yeah,
by
yeah.
September, I was sick. It was making me ill. You know, I spent so much time immersed in so much darkness. And I thought, well, if this is making me ill to write it, it's not going to be much fun to read.
It is very much fun to read, actually.
Well, I hope so. But, this was the first draft. It was even darker, you know. And so I think I realized I had to put a positive spin on it. Otherwise, it was just going to turn out to be a kind of, 365 days of moaning about all this shit in the world. And I realized that it's not enough to complain, that you have to come up with solutions. And so that was where I got to, was going, these are all the things that I perceive, aren't working too well in the world, but I have to offer some kind of hope.
And I feel like what you say is saving the word is actually saving your own word. And
yeah, it's a personal,
it's very personal.
But I'm encouraging everyone to save their world. And if everyone saves their world, the world will possibly be a better place.
I think it's really about this battle that you have inside, and you just have to recognize it instead of ignoring the battle and just focusing on the bright side.
And we're talking about the dark side. There's a beautiful story that I put in that book and one of my other books, just because I think it's so potent and so relevant, which is a Native American story about a little boy talking to his grandfather, and his grandfather says to him, you have inside you, there is a dark wolf and a light wolf, and the dark wolf represents all the greed and the suffering and the pain and the nastiness, and the light wolf represents happiness and joy and pleasure and, all these kind of good things. But they're fighting, and the little boy so asks his grandfather, so which one will win? And the grandfather says, the one you feed.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is really important, but you have to recognize which is the dark wolf, which is the light wolf, in order to know which one to feed. And if you ignore the dark wolf, you might feed it without knowing.
Yeah, so you have to recognize it.
Because it's in our unconsciousness. And this is the paradox, right? If you block out sides of yourself that you don't want to be, they get bigger.
True.
They grow. So it's only by really, really observing them that you can shrink them and gain mastery over them, gain control over them. Otherwise, they creep up on you and you don't even know that they're there.
Interesting. A lot of things to think about, I guess.
That's why it's a long book.
It's quite a long book, actually. It is a very long book.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you that before, but this podcast called Vlan, which means slam the door. It's an onomatopoeia, kind of.
Yeah.
So I'm always asking, what would you slam the door to? Or who would you slam the door to?
No, I wouldn't slam the door to anything.
Even Donald Trump?
No. Bring him in, man. Give me half an hour with him. No, I think for me, it's open the door to everything and really, really look at it and get to know it.
Because we slam too much doors somehow to the dark side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huh.
Yeah. And we stay blind. We stay deaf. We stay blind. We don't know these sides.
Very cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool. That's fine. Merci d'avoir écouté Vlan. Si vous avez aimé l'émission, vous pouvez le dire avec des étoiles, 5 de préférence sur iTunes, et le partager avec vos amis ou vos collègues. Je suis Grégory Pouy, vous pouvez me retrouver sur Twitter et LinkedIn sous le pseudo Greg from Paris. N'hésitez pas à me remonter vos remarques, vos questions, mais aussi les invités que vous aimeriez entendre.